Okay, this is tape three. Leon Sverdlov interviewed by Andrew Sverdlov in Yorktown Heights on March 11th, 2005.
So I was going to tell you my maise. During the period that the FBI was, on our tail, it was over a couple of years, they would tap our phone, and they would at times make such a lousy job, it was obvious. And we knew. So after a while, we just didn't care. But there were times when the phone would get so noisy that I would say, get the fuck off the phone and give me a chance to talk to my friend. Stuff like that. But one of the best mices was, we live 166 Second Avenue. You know where Second Avenue Deli is?
Yes.
Right there in the corner. The big apartment house, the whole block.
Yes.
We lived in an apartment, two apartments, my wife's mother, and we lived there. That's where my daughter was born. At any rate, it was a big enough house, and it had a doorman. And the doorman's name was Nat. Never learned his second name. But he was a doorman that he'd get anything you wanted at any hour of the day or the night, including you wanted a deck of pinochle card, and if you wanted a floozy, he'd bring that too. But at any rate,
he
was a very nice guy. We loved him.
From pinochle to floozies, I think that's
And
wonderful.
During that period, the FBI guys would show up, and it was a big lobby, and they'd mess around and whatever they did there. And this is the way I learned about it. One thing I knew about Nat was he hated authority. He just didn't like authority. The phone, the intercom for the house phone ring, I pick it up. Mr. Sverdlov, yes. This is Nat. I say, what's up, Nat? He says, they're here. He never asked me any questions, but he smelled them out, right? So every time they show in the lobby,
did you ever hear of a psychiatrist by the name of Simon, who was also a communist, lived in New York in the early 40s?
No.
And he served my wife's husband. He was, when he was a young man, I guess he left medical school, didn't finish medical school till after. He went to serve in Spain.
Oh, it wasn't
the Abraham
Lincoln
Brigade. I guess you're a little too young for the Abraham Lincoln Brigade.
No, I was old enough for it. I was already married, but I didn't volunteer for the brigade. But a lot of my friends did. And I am to this day both a member or a contributor. And they have the
Alba Library.
The Abraham Lincoln Library all over.
Alba, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, when I first met Jane, her dad was still alive, and we would go down to their annual meetings.
Well, I went to there. They had
a celebration.
A meeting, downtown.
City, I think it's a division of City College, I'm not sure, but there's a college across from the World Trade Center site.
Yes, right there, right. They had a big affair there where the remaining vets were there.
Yes.
There was a big crowd of people, and I went there, I remember, about a year ago. But I'm in constant communication.
I think a year ago may have been the first that we missed. No, he's passed a few years. Yeah, it's 4 years. But up until 4 years ago, we would go to the annual vets affair.
As a matter of fact, I just got, only a couple of days ago, Sol Wellman. I don't know if you know the name. Sol Wellman is from Detroit. He was a member of the National Committee, Communist Party. Did a lot of work in organizing the auto workers in the early days, and they did a video of his life. He passed away recently at age 90, And I got it only the other day. I got both the video and the DVD, and I played it. And I was home alone and got a little emotional about it, because he was a member of the Lincoln Brigade. He was wounded, and it just, you know, I kept looking at the thing, and in some parts I could say, hey, that's me.
They were so interesting, those meetings, because, they would talk about some of the people and the things that they had done. Many went on, as yourself, were active in labor movements across this country. Really an important balance, as you say, to capitalism. So let's see. Grandpa never talked very much. Zadie never talked very much about the old country, other than Vitebsk. They came from Vitebsk. That's it. He comes over here. Were all five of the children, the three girls, your father and your uncle, were they all born in Russia?
Yes.
In somewhere in Vitebsk?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, I was part of the first generation that was born here. Yeah.
You were the first?
Yeah, well, there was...
The oldest, your sister's the...
Well, then there was my mother's sister, Rose Bernstein in Canada, who also had a daughter, two sons. The two sons have passed away. The daughter is still alive, I think. Heard from somebody about her recently. And Milton moved to Los Angeles, spent his last years in Los Angeles with his second wife, Sarah. And he was very active in the Yiddish cultural part of the left-wing movement. He was both a singer, and he was in some of the plays that they put on, I remember.
Did Milton have a candy store when he was still married, when he was here in the New York area?
Rings a bell.
I think I spoke to Milton's son, the lost son, at some point, because he was one of the stories that I remember, because he said his activities with the Communist Party were always getting his mother in trouble. He would have problems in school. He couldn't get into certain schools. And finally, the mother divorces him. Of course, there was the other side of the story.
Right.
I didn't hear. Now, Uncle Lucan did not get divorced. I assume that he...
No. As a matter of fact...
His wife just said, all right, you did it.
They raised my sister. But Uncle Lucan, to put a little drama into it, Uncle Lucan was a diamond dealer. And when you imported diamonds, you paid a tax on it, import tax. So Uncle Lucan thought that if you didn't pay the tax, you'd make more money. So Uncle Lucan smuggled diamonds into the country, and he got caught, and he went to jail. However, my swindler, my family became involved through my brother. It's long enough ago that I can tell the story. My brother was became a French teacher.
Yes.
And one of the reasons was that when we came from Montreal, we knew a lot of French.
Of course.
At any rate.
Yes.
At one point, my uncle said to my brother, who was in college, he wasn't teaching yet, that, you know, it'd be a good idea for you to spend some time in France since you're majoring in French. So he went off. Except that when he was there, my uncle told him, there's a friend of mine, he's going to give you a valise, bring it back. Brother took the valise and brought it back. He came home and he was told, as soon as you get home with Valise, you call, the guy's name was Prujansky, was a partner of mine. called Pruzhansky. He called Pruzhansky. Pruzhansky came. And we lived in Henry Street then. He opened the valise, pulled up the false bottom, packages of diamonds. My brother didn't know. So everything was fine for about a year or maybe more after that. Then somebody squawked or told or whatever. There it was. So they called in my uncle, and my uncle took the rap. Because that was the, he said, if you don't bother anybody else, I'll plead guilty. So he did 2.5 years, came out, continued in the diamond business. It was okay, but that was quite a story.
Yes.
So my brother was a diamond smuggler, unbeknownst to himself.
Now, trying to figure out
that there was mention much the sister Jenny, who was best. They wound up in Atlantic City, where I think they the last we heard of them, and Charlie and Ruth. Charlie was killed in an automobile accident, I remember, and Jenny and Mars finally. They both passed away, but Atlantic City was there where they wound up.
Baxt. B-A-K-S-T. Baxt. Never heard the name. That was one sister. The sister in New York?
Rose. Was the Rose one who changed her name to Sweetlove.
Oh, Rose Sweetlove. Oh, yes. This is a...
She changed her name officially on all the documents. She changed it to Sweetlove. And she was a spinster. Never got married.
Never got married.
She worked in the needle trades for all her life. Also a union member and active. And about her, I remember, her English, she could get by, but... It raised, you know, there were some missing stuff there. One of the expressions that she had, instead of saying, is that so? She, is that all?
Is that all?
So we never forget somebody came and tells a story about so-and-so got hit by a streetcar, and she says, is that all? I always remember that. Yeah, that's Rose. She was a very nice lady.
Rose Sweetlove. The third sister was the one married to Bernstein in Montreal, the third one.
Right, yeah, Rose.
Do you remember the ages of any of them at some point in time, so I could guess from that age when they were born, or even the order that they were
born?
Well,
I would say that the Bernstein ages are about the same as ours, because we played together as kids, but they might have been, I would say there's no more than couple of years between us in age.
And what were those Bernstein children's names?
Now I got it right. There was Bob, Harry, and Bertha.
And do you know the order of your father, his brother, and the aunts?
The ages?
Or the order of birth, who was the oldest and who was the youngest?
He has to tell. Let's see. Let me see the Jenny. Maybe my father was the oldest. And I think Milton was the youngest. And the daughters were in between. That my best recollection. I couldn't, you know, attest to it.
I think I've found your grandfather's thing. Did I find?
You worked in a broom factory. You had that information.
Oh, I did have that. I'm thinking of immigration information.
Yeah.
And the Masha. I remember that being confused with the name Masha when I saw it. And Moishe and Masha.
Yeah.
And whether they were two men, a man and a woman,
yeah,
a wife and a husband.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling that I might have a record in here.
Oh, and there's something here that's visual, but there's something that I found. This was...
The visual stuff we will bring in that...
this was... These are original letters.
Oh.
This is a letter that I wrote to my mother in the sanitarium.
Oh my gosh, you wrote in Yiddish?
In Yiddish. And this is... My father wrote her a letter at the same time, which I find difficulty because he connected his letters.
Oh, yes,
made it difficult. But I transliterated it, and would you understand it?
Not that well.
let me read.
Okay, now this is, she's 32, she's in the sanitarium,
yes,
in
Liebe, Liebe Mama, ich hab Easter a bissel Zeit. You understand that?
A little time now.
Dear schreiben etliche Wörter, to write a few words
to
you.
To write.
In school, haben wir gehabt tests.
The children.
We had tests in school.
Tests.
Und ich und Harry haben gehabt gute Marks.
Harry got good marks on his test.
Me and Harry. Lilkele, that's the sister Lily.
Lilkele, little Lily.
Walked a sach besser. She's walking better.
Walking
I forgot
better.
To mention that part.
Lily's born in Montreal,
Lily
so she's a
born
little,
in Montreal.
She's still a youngster.
Fell down a flight of stairs, had a severe spinal injury, and was for years in a metal frame and cast.
Oh my gosh.
She's fine today.
Amazing.
So when I say here, Lilkele walked a sach besser, she's walking better. She was learning how to walk again. At that point.
Lily is how old now?
Lily is 89.
She's 89. That's 1916.
Yeah.
She was born in 1916. Her mother died in 32, so she is 11 years old, and 10 years old.
Maybe even a little younger.
She's about 9 or 10 years old when
right.
She's had this accident. Oh my, go ahead.
And then I say, men... Nehmt ihr Arop in Street und sie spielt sich mit alle Kinder. We take her down into the street and she plays with the other kids. Ich wollte sehr gewollt sein und wissen, was du machst. I would very much love to see you and see how you are doing. Harry hat dir gar nicht was zu schreiben. Harry doesn't have anything to write to you. Dafür wird schreiben ein anderes Mal. That he will write another time. Derweil essen wir Dinner und Supper bei, we're eating, in the meantime, we're eating the by, and I can't make out the name, so I have a question mark. Neighbors were feeding us. Bis die Schreinen wollen reinmuffen. There's some people who are going to move in, neighbors who are going to move in to take care of us. So in the meantime, we're eating with these other people. Sollst nicht banken und übertragen. Don't spend too much thing worrying and thinking. Weil wir seien alle gesund, because we're all well. Sei gesund und fix dich.
Sei gesund, be well.
Fix it, you know, fix yourself. Von dein Sohn. Leon, from your son. And then, this is what Harry wrote. Liebe Mama, Leon hat er schön alles geschrieben. Leon wrote everything to you. Ich will dir schreiben at zweiten Mal. Second time, next time I'll write to you. Sei gesund. Von mir dein Sohn, Harry. So this
wonderful letters.
And I found these. These are the originals. They're still, you know, but I made copies of them. This is the way we looked when we were in Los Angeles.
Oh, that's right. You had this 1 year in this in Los Angeles where your father went into a
grocery store business,
hoping. Now, how did he? Oh, did he go out to L.A. because Milton was there?
No. Milton didn't go to L.A. until many years later. He went out to L.A. That's another part of the story. We had a friend who came over from the United States. His name was, I can't think of the name, but the second name was Kamenov. And from what I remember is that he was living in Canada in the war, 1914. Canada was in the war because England got it in 1914. And it was a question of the draft.
Yes.
And somehow he lived with us and worked out some deal, and he was able to get it. He got to Los Angeles, where he opened a grocery store. And after my mother died, he said to my father, "Why didn't you come out?" So we did it, but it was an ill-fated trip.
Ill-fated trip.
And 1 year, and we lived in the. I remember we got there, and our housing, the back of the house, was a shed with the wide boards with space in between. And I remember this Mr. Kamenov and my dad, cartons from the grocery store on the inside. And we lived in that thing for almost a year like that.
Oh my gosh.
And my father would bathe us standing in a big tub, you know, and sponge us off. You know. And it just didn't work out, and we came back, and the rest is history.
I'm going to bring in that scanner. Now, the only one that I haven't gotten you to talk about is your son.
Well, that is a difficult thing to talk about, obviously. It's hard for me and for many others, not only in the family, to understand. My son, like average human beings, he had his problems when he was growing up. He went, I got him through college. He wound up with a doctorate in geology. And the last that I heard of him, and now we're going back 14, 15 years, he was working for Schering Plough. It's interesting, my son-in-law
works for Pfizer, and your son?
Yeah, and that he was working, not necessarily related to his studies, but he was well at that period of time, and because he had used the computer geological program. Yes. And in those years, so it seems he got himself, I understand, a very good, he's probably doing very well. Now, whether he's still with Schering and Plough or not, I don't know. But I would say the fly in the ointment, maybe I shouldn't say that, was his wife. Both my son and his wife were what's the Yiddish word? Farzetzene. That would be like if you become a spinster or no social graces. And it's true, they had difficulty. So in son's case, a neighbor in Sunnyside says, "I know a family who has a daughter who's like your son and she's bashful and all that."
And they made a shidduch.
Them together, and they made a shidduch, and they got married. But she was an extremely demanding person, came from a background exactly the opposite of ours, Jewish upper middle class philosophy. To her, a wedding, a marriage, love, shmov, wasn't consummated unless it had a big diamond. In all the years I spent setting diamonds, the only diamond we ever owned was when I married Sima, my uncle Shia, the diamond dealer. This was very interesting. I was working with this William Charlton setting diamond. And one day I get, he gives me a ring, about a quarter carat stone with little stones in it, and all, I set it and turn it in. A week later, my Uncle Shia presents the ring to my wife, a diamond ring. And both of us, our attitude towards this was, I give up. All we need. So anyway, put it this way. When my Uncle Chia was around and went visiting, she wore it. But otherwise, to go to a Communist Party meeting with a diamond ring. P.S. Many years later, after Uncle Chia was in his grave, we needed money badly. We sold it. So along comes my son's wife with this fixation on a diamond, and it's got to be no smaller than 2 carats. Strictly meshuggah. And she obviously sells a bill of goods to my son for the same thing, and things got very tacky, up to the point where my son sent me a letter, which I had. And I wrote an answer to it, which I didn't have the kishkes to send back. As one heard, in which he insults me, calls me a fool, a clown, a liar. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. By then, they had a baby, Max. They got into all kinds of financial problems. Maxed out credit cards. So I didn't, I told you what my income was in those years, but nevertheless, at one point, I still have all the copies of the check, I paid a little over $5,000 worth of credit card debts, or cleaned up his credit record. Sent $100, $200 a month, $50, whatever I could, and I kept sending. No response of any kind. No thank you, no phone calls, no nothing. And I guess about, well, it must be about the time we moved here, 10, 11 years ago, I was writing a check. All right, and all the checks I wrote were to Max. I mean, not to Max. I sort of said to myself, schmuck. You know, I said, what are you doing? And I stopped. Not that it didn't hurt. I just stopped, and that's the way it's been since. And they say conditioning is a big factor. So the conditioning is, I know I have a son, but...
What would Zadie do? I'm thinking of that wonderful story when Zadie is coming from shul and your kids are playing in the street. Do you see Max? Do you have a relationship with Max?
No, because... The last I saw of Max, he was an infant. What I do have are a lot of videotapes of him as an infant when they used to come over to visit.
Apparently he's a very good musician.
He's a good musician. First violinist of the orchestra in the school, and obviously a very intelligent human being. Only, less than a year ago, I guess, Everett Lewis, who was the attorney for the union, and I, we talked to each other fairly often. He began to push me, he said, why don't you? So I decided I'm going to do something about it, but I can't. I don't know how to get it started. As far as I'm concerned, I had some rough period. In 1997, I had a first, a severe attack of depression, very bad, which was my third one. But I survived it. I went through up to and including ECT treatments, which worked. They worked.
And your memory came back?
Not all of it. A lot of it is gone. In the beginning, it was a in the beginning.
You knew someone who went through ECT.
It was a mess because I remember it was my daughter who was with me every step of the way. I mean, and I'm only here because she's here. That the memory was so shattered that, you know, after I told you with the house, I kind of, and we're sitting and talking, and my son-in-law's mother lives in New Jersey. She lost her husband a number of years ago to a very nice lady. She'd done something financially for the kids, very generously. And I'm saying to Evie, my daughter, gee, I wish I was in a position to do something for you guys. I'm so sorry. I had forgotten about the house, that I turned it over to them. Everything, it was a blanket. And she brought it back gradually by taking out papers, by showing me letters, and showing me, look, you signed that paper where you turned over the house to us and all that. It was, but it has come back, a lot of it, as you can see, but some of it is still hazy.
Well, if you don't remember what you had for breakfast, I have that problem. But you're doing well with the we're up to 60 years old and beyond. Right. Well, if I perhaps I can facilitate a family reconciliation by the genealogy.
I don't object. Okay. Put it that way. I don't object. I don't object because it would be interesting after all these years.
And Max sounds like a very nice young man. I think I mentioned to you that I'm in touch with him with the possibility of setting up a website. He has a, I don't know very much about these things, but he has a website.
Yeah, I guess.
And he has the
ability
to get
his whole you know, business with all the concert he plays at, and then did you see that, and all the
actually I haven't seen all of it because we just started to talk just before I went to Florida on a genealogy trip, and now we're back to talking, and so I may end up having
a well, as I say, if it fated to be that way, I certainly wouldn't object. It's just that, as I put it to you, I find it very difficult how to start this.
Yeah, yeah, I can understand.
I also have here, I don't know,
there's the Bombardier Group, the 386.
Yeah, that's I did a TV interview. I was the honoree at Westchester County. Don't bother here.
Yeah.
No, because we're making sound recordings.
Yeah, right.
Okay. But maybe later.
This is a TV interview that I did in 201, and this was when I was the hospital honoree as a volunteer. And then I have, this is where I got the one that I got my diploma, my high school
Seward
diploma.
Seward Park High School diploma. Oh my gosh. How old were you when you got your diploma?
I got this diploma only a couple of months ago.
You're a little slow.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. I said, it took me 78 years to get my high school diploma. I was a little slow. So this is what I made up this cover. You saw this article.
Yes. Yes. I'm going to go get my scanner and bring it in. And we're going to close out to my last interview. I have